We'll be reading today from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. The book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Let's all open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5 and read together verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." In Ephesians 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It's right by the very nature of things. It's only natural that children should obey their parents. Jesus, spiritually speaking, was the Son of God. And as a son, he learned, the Bible says, obedience. Look again at Hebrews 5, verse 8. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience." What does it mean when it says that he learned obedience? Well, this cannot mean that Jesus didn't know how to obey before he actually became a man. It cannot mean that Jesus had disobeyed at some point in his life as a man. The word "learned" here has to mean that he experienced obedience. He experienced what it means to obey as a man. He felt the conflict between the flesh and the spirit, and he experienced obedience in that sense. Remember, Hebrews 4, verse 15 says that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus experienced obedience, and we know that he experienced obedience in many ways. For instance, in Luke 2, verse 51, the Bible says that Jesus, as a young man, was subject to his parents. So Jesus did what his parents told him to do. And in that way, he was obedient. And we know that he obeyed the law of Moses in every point. Jesus kept the law of Moses. He never disobeyed the law at any point and at any time in his life. Jesus said also in John 8, verse 29, speaking of his heavenly Father, "I do always those things that please him." So we could say that Jesus experienced obedience in many different ways, but there's a particular kind of obedience that Hebrews 5, verse 8 is talking about. Look at this verse very carefully. It says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." He had always obeyed by keeping the Sabbath and observing the law in its commandments. But the Jews expected that. In Hebrews 5, verse 8, the Bible says that he experienced obedience by what he suffered, especially in his death. It's one thing to obey when there are no forces that are hindering you. It's another thing to obey when there's a cost, especially if that price to pay is pain and suffering. Now, this is the struggle that Jesus found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. When he was praying to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified, the Bible says that he prayed to God and said, "Father, remove this cup from me." So doing the will of God was not easy. Jesus experienced this internal struggle. He knew that the will of the Father needed to be done and had to be done, but the flesh pulled him in a different direction. Still, he obeyed. He experienced what it means to obey in the midst of adverse circumstances. And what an example Jesus is for us in that way. Because in the same way, we learn to submit to God by enduring suffering and by enduring especially great sorrow and pain in this life. Yes, we learn to submit and we experience obedience when we do anything that God tells us to do. But it's especially a challenge to obey God when obeying God means that we're going to suffer for it and suffer through it. Now, in that kind of situation, we're like children. Some children get mad at their parents for punishing them. Even though they're in the wrong and they need correcting, Sometimes children rebel. And in the same way, there are people that get mad at God and rebel against Him when they're suffering. They blame everything on God, and they get mad at God and rebel against Him. Now, on the other hand, this is what we should do, and that is submit, even if we can't understand why we're going through the suffering. Even if that suffering lasts much longer than what we want it to last, we simply learn to obey. We submit. We keep on obeying, and we stay humble. Now, that is the lesson that the Bible gives us in many passages. I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and read 1 Peter chapter 2 beginning in verse 21, because this is an excellent commentary on what we're looking at here. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21, the Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps." This is not a general passage about following in the footsteps of Jesus. This is a specific passage that says that when you follow in the steps of Jesus, you are going to suffer just like He did. And I'll remind you too, and would encourage you to keep in mind that the book of 1 Peter was written to Christian people who were suffering and who were going to suffer even more because of their Christianity. And so in the midst of this, he tells them, look, you're suffering. And you're suffering sometimes through no fault of your own. So what do you do in those situations? You keep on obeying God. You keep submitting to God. And it's very interesting in the book of 1 Peter that you find two words, both of which begin with the letter S, that really connect in this book and that really give you the central theme, or at least a central point of this book of 1 Peter, and that is the word suffering and the word submit. We learn to submit through our suffering. Instead of rebelling against God and getting angry at God, we submit to God in the midst of that suffering. That's what Jesus did. That's what he says in verse 22, who did no sin. 1 Peter 2:22. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Jesus submitted, Jesus obeyed, even in the midst of great suffering. And that's what we should do. That's the message of 1 Peter chapter 2. Now then, let's turn to another passage. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to jump ahead just a little bit in Hebrews chapter 12, because I want to look at verses 5 through 11 and tie this in with what we're looking at in Hebrews 5 verse 8. Hebrews 5 verse 8 says that Jesus learned, that is, he experienced obedience by the things which he suffered. But then in Hebrews chapter 12, he's talking about Christian people and the sufferings that we as Christians endure. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, after he's talked about the hardships that these very Christians had been through and were going through, he says in Hebrews 12, verse 5, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, what he goes on to talk about there is the fact that if we submit to the sufferings that we face in life, and especially the sufferings that are the result of the chastening hand of God, then we're going to show that we are obedient children. We're going to show that we're worthy of being called children of God. But if we resist and we rebel against God, then we're really no longer worthy of the name children of God. So we'll look more at Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 later. Right now, we want to get back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, where the Bible says that Jesus, as the Son, experienced obedience by the things which he suffered. So in spite of the hardships, Jesus obeyed. Now, as that example then, the Bible says in verse 9, and being made perfect, that is, Jesus, having been made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What does the Bible mean when it says that Jesus was made perfect? Someone might ask the question, well, wasn't he perfect before? Wasn't he always perfect? Well, he was perfect in the sense that he was sinless. Jesus was always perfect in the sense that he never did anything wrong. But the word perfect here is the idea of being complete in another way. The word perfect means complete, and here it means complete in the sense that when he died, he completed God's will. And so after he died on the cross and he was resurrected, then he was made perfect in that sense. It doesn't mean that he was any more holy than he was before. It simply means that he had done and finished the will of God. That's the idea of the word perfect. As a result, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. The word author means that he is the cause of eternal salvation. He's the reason for it. He's the author of it. And notice that he says that this salvation is eternal salvation. That means that this is salvation which is in heaven. It is eternity in heaven. So those who make it to that heavenly home will be saved forever. But let's notice who he's talking about here. He says that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus learned obedience, and those that obey him will have eternal salvation. Now, notice that it doesn't say that Jesus was made perfect, and then he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that believe him. It says, obey him. So, obedience is absolutely necessary. The Bible says in James 2, verses 14 through 26, that faith without works is dead. And in James 2, 24, the Bible says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now, let's look at a few other verses that talk about the fact that we must obey and not simply say, I believe it in my heart. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Another excellent passage to keep in mind is Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. There the Bible says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Here's another great passage to remember. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. These and many other verses serve as an excellent commentary on Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, where the Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.